Let's pray together.
Lord, we continue to worship you because you are worthy. You've given us your best. And Lord, we give now cheerfully back to you so that you can bless the ministries of this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
I'm glad you're here this morning. We had about 400 people over in the gym at the 10 o'clock hour, and a lot of our normal folks here have already worshiped, but you're here, and I'm here, and I'm excited about getting to preach God's Word, even though it's going to have to be a little shorter than usual. We're involved in, and we're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 18 in just a moment. And I'm just going to read one verse as we get started. But our series, we're talking about stepping into God's purpose, walking into God's plan for our lives. Some people walk on the edge of God's plan all their lives. They just kind of dabble. They'll get their toe in and then come back out. Some people walk away from God's calling, from God's plan, from His purpose. The six characters that we're talking about out of the Old Testament, and today is our fourth one, we're talking about individuals who heard God, who listened to God, and who stepped into God's plan, into God's purpose for his or her life. We began with Ruth. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Moses. Last week, we talked about Joshua. Today, we're going to talk about Elijah. If you want to read ahead, next week, we're going to talk about King Hezekiah, a good king. Today, we're going to talk about King Ahab, a bad king. Chapter 16 in 1 Kings says that he did more evil, more harm than any other king. So God had to use a prophet. God used Elijah to come and share a word with him. We're going to talk about that today. When you hear of some of our biblical characters out of the Old Testament, when you hear about Noah, we think about the flood, don't we? Think about the ark. When we mention Abraham, most of us think about Isaac and going to Mount Moriah. When we think about Joshua, I think about the walls of Jericho, how they came tumbling down. When we think about David, we think about Goliath, don't we? And when we think about Daniel, we think about the lion's den. Well, when we think about Elijah, I think most of us think about the prayer that called down fire from heaven on Mount Carmel. Listen to verse 21 in chapter 18. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How long or how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Lord, help us today as we look through this chapter. May you give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to receive your word. May we be good soil. And may you produce through us, Lord, a bumper crop, a very fruitful life. May we walk into the purpose you have for our lives. And Lord, just help me, permit me to hide behind the gospel, behind the cross, and preach the gospel this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Chapter 18 begins where the Lord has told Elijah, go to King Ahab and tell him that rain's coming soon. You see, if you begin back in chapter 17, where we first start reading about Elijah, Elijah went and told King Ahab, wicked King Ahab, there's not going to be any rain, not even any dew on the ground until I come back and tell you that it's changing. And there were 3 years. Some scholars say 3.5 years of no rain. So I want you to envision King Ahab on his throne. He looks out. It's a dry land. It's a dusty land. It's a dying land. It's all he's got left. And Elijah comes to him and says, it's about to rain again, King, because God has told me to come to you and tell you the good news. And every time you read about Elijah and God telling Elijah to do something, Elijah obeyed. And that's one of the common denominators we've talked about in all these characters, all these stories. God speaks, and they listened, and then God was with them. You want God to be with you? Listen to his word and do what he says, and we'll experience his power. The people of Israel needed a word. They needed someone to come. They needed a spokesperson to speak for the Lord. Thus says the Lord. So King Ahab in verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, he gets with Obadiah and he says, we've got to find some place, somewhere where there's some grass so that all of my horses and mules don't die. So Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace, went one way and King Ahab went another way. And Elijah meets Obadiah. And Obadiah falls on the ground and says, are you Elijah? And Elijah says, get up. And Obadiah says, you're Elijah. And Elijah says, go tell King Ahab that I'm going to see him today. And Obadiah tries to straddle the fence. Have you ever tried to straddle the fence? Have you ever looked out for number one? Have you ever tried to be in and out and please both sides at the same time? Obadiah says, Elijah, as sure as I go and get the king and tell him you're here, when we get back, you're going to be gone because the Spirit of God's going to lead you somewhere else while we're gone. And Elijah said, I promise you, I'll be right here. You go get the king. Obadiah went and got the king. The king comes and says, oh, the troubler of Israel. And Elijah says, I'm not the troublemaker. You're the troublemaker. You're the cause of these 3 years of drought. It's you, O king. And then Elijah says, tell you what we're going to do, king. Let's call all the people. Let's go up on Mount Carmel and let's have a showdown. And we'll decide today who's God. All the people like that idea. And they went up on Mount Carmel, and Elijah said, it's time to decide. If Baal is God, then serve Baal. But if the Lord God is God, then serve him. He said, we're going to prepare two sacrifices. We got two bulls. The prophets of Baal are going to take one of the bulls and put on the altar, and they're going to pray. We're not going to light the sacrifice with fire. We're going to pray and let our God answer by fire. And so the prophets of Baal, it says they prayed from morning to noon. Nothing happened. And Elijah is poking fun at them about lunch hour. And he says, maybe you need to holler a little louder. Maybe your God's taking a nap. Or he's meditating. Maybe he's on a trip. One translation even says, maybe he's relieving himself. And you need to cry a little louder. So they did. And from lunch till evening sacrifice, it says they even cut themselves. And they cried out louder and louder to Baal to come down and light the fire on their altar, but no fire. And then finally, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah says, okay, folks, come over here. And he repairs the altar that they broke down. And he uses 12 stones, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And he puts the wood on top of the stones. And he cuts up the second bull and puts it on top of the wood. And then he prays. Very simple prayer. Short prayer. 63 words in the King James. 60 words in the New Living Translation that I'm reading from. And Elijah just basically said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, would you prove yourself today? Would you show yourself real? So that everybody can know that you're God and that you've called me to do this. Lord, would you answer my prayer? And would you let everybody know that you're God and that you're bringing your people back to you? And then he said, amen. I guess he said amen. It doesn't say amen here. But he stopped praying. And you know what happened next? Fire fell. God answered immediately with fire. And the fire burned the bull sacrifice, the wood. It even says the stones were burned. Dust, all the water that they had poured on the sacrifice just to make sure that there were no tricks up Elijah's sleeve. All the water in the trench that was around the sacrifice was gone because God answered by fire. And then all the people, they fell on their knees and they said, the Lord God, he is God. The Lord of Israel, he is God. In verse 21 that we read earlier, Elijah said, all right, it's time. You've been wavering. You've been going back and forth between Baal and the Lord God. It's time to decide. And in verse 21, they didn't say a word. kind of like the silence you get right now. They just all sat there. But when the fire fell, they all spoke up, said, "The Lord, He's God." When we come this morning for communion in a little bit, I want you to remember, I want you to at least say in your heart of hearts, "The Lord, He is God, and He is here. Lord, let your fire fall on the altar of my heart. Lord, let your fire burn up the dross in my life. Lord, let the cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit change me and fill me so that you can use me." There are three quick lessons I want to mention about this chapter. Three things we need to learn from. Number one, all religions are not the same. I want you to hear me loud and clear. All religions are not the same. There were the prophets of Baal, and there was the one prophet of God, the Lord. They did everything they could. No answers. You know why? Because Baal is an idol. Baal was an invention of the people. Baal didn't exist. Not real. But the Lord God is real. All the religions around us are not the same. Don't let the culture we live in cause us to believe in political correctness to the point where we believe all religions are equal. They are not. There's one thing that separates Christianity from every other religion, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Puts it on another category, doesn't it? If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that sets Christianity above every other religion. All the other religions, they've got their prophets, they've got their spokespersons, their teachers who tell you how to find God. But we worship the Lord God who came to find us. So don't think that all religions are the same. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can make it to the Father except through me because of his uniqueness." Now, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you can choose to go another route, and you can believe all religions are the same. And like Papias, one of the early church fathers, said, all religions are like vines, and all the vines are going to ultimately get to the same place. It's not what the Bible teaches, is it? The Bible teaches that we crucified the Christ. On the third day, he was resurrected. He gave us his spirit so we can experience his fire so that we can be his royal ambassadors in this world in which we live. Second thing, sincerity is not enough. Just being sincere is not good enough. Would you vote this morning that the prophets of Baal were sincere? I mean, they were doing everything. They were all in, weren't they? Hey, but they were wrong. It'd be kind of like a man being overweight and having high blood pressure, needing to lose a few pounds, his heart rate's too high, needs to go on a diet, but he tells his wife, "Hey, I'm fit as a fiddle. Hon, I don't need to go see the doctor. I don't need to eat that rabbit food. I'm okay. I'm good. I'm healthy." And then a few months later, he kills over with a heart attack. We could say he was sincere, but he was wrong. It's possible to be sincere. It's possible to believe in other religions as being valid, equal with Christianity. But the truth is what sets us free. Christ Jesus is alive. The fire has fallen on the day of Pentecost. And we are recipients. We're now keepers of the flame. Third lesson, and then we'll be done. Faith is not what's most important. Now, don't misquote me. Listen to the rest of what I'm saying. Faith is not most important. It's the object of our faith that's most important. Now, those prophets of Baal, they believed in Baal, didn't they? So they had faith, but their faith was in nothing, and nothing did nothing for them. But when we put our faith in Him, in the resurrection, then Jesus says, "I am life, and I will give you my life," the great transaction. I shared with those precious youth yesterday, and I close my time with them the way I'm going to close my time with you this morning. There were three frogs sitting on a log. Two decided to jump off the log. How many frogs were left on the log? Pretty easy, isn't it? There were three frogs still on the log. Just because two decided to jump off didn't mean that they had jumped off. There were still three frogs on the log. And I think there are a lot of people who have decided to follow Jesus. I've sung that song all my life, or as long as I could sing. It's time we go past, "I have decided to follow Jesus," to jumping off the log and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus. And Lord, I need your help. I need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let your fire fall today on this altar as we come for the bread and the juice. Let's pray that the fire of God will fall upon our hearts and that we'll walk away from here and never be the same. Let the bread and let the juice be the way that you release your faith this morning, that you're putting the sacrifice on the altar. Say, God, you come. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.